Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Prahlad, the best amongst exalted devotees, text number 12. Katama diya jushamana priyastvam aveshamam atmani shantam ekam sarveshu bhutesh vadiyagyam isham ya jashva yogena chakarma hinvan. Kata, messages or instructions. Madhya, given by me. Yushamanaha. Yushamanaha. Always hearing or contemplating. Priya, extremely pleasing. Tvam, yourself. Avesha, being fully absorbed in. Mam, me. Atmani, within the core of your heart. Santam, existing. Ekam, one. The same Supreme Soul. Sarveshu, in all. Bhuteshu, living entities. Adiyagyam, the enjoyer of all ritualistic ceremonies. Isham, the Supreme Lord. Yajashva, worship. Yogena, by bhakti yoga, devotional service. Cha, also. Karma, fruit of activities. Hinvan, giving up. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Does that matter that you are in the material world? You should always continuously hear the instructions and messages given by me, and always be absorbed in thought of me, for I am the Supreme Soul. I am the Super Soul, existing in the core of everyone's heart. Therefore, give up fruitive activities and worship me. Purport. When a devotee becomes materially very opulent, one should not think that he is enjoying the results of his fruitive activities. A devotee in this material world uses all material opulences for the service of the Lord, because he is planning how to serve the Lord with these opulences, as advised by the Lord himself. Whatever material opulence is within his possession, he engages to expand the glories and service of the Lord. A devotee never performs any fruitive or ritualistic ceremony to enjoy the results of such karma. Rather, a devotee knows that karmakanda is meant for the less intelligent man. Narottam Das Thakur says in his Prema Bhakti Chandrika, karmakanda, jnanakanda, kevala vishera kanda. Both karmakanda and jnanakanda, fruitive activities and speculation about the Lord, are like pots of poison. One who is attracted to karmakanda and jnanakanda spoils his existence as a human being. Therefore, a devotee is never interested in karmakanda or jnanakanda, but is simply interested in favorable service to the Lord, anyakulena krishnanu shilanam, or cultivation of spiritual activities and devotional service. Kata madhya jushamana priyastvam aveshamam atmani santamekam sarvesha bhuteshva diyagyam isham yajashva yogena chakarma hinvan. Does not matter that you are in the material world. You should always continuously hear the instructions and messages given by me and always be absorbed in thought of me. For I am the Super Soul, existing in the core of everyone's heart. Therefore, give up fruitive activities and worship me. Here, Lord Nrisimhadeva is telling Prahlad to give up fruitive activities. But we understand Prahlad is probably not engaged in too many fruitive activities. But Prahlad is the example for us, and therefore he's telling us to give up fruitive activities. Now, of course, anyone who's been in devotional service for too long, they actually start thinking that they're a devotee. And therefore, everything they talk about being a devotee in the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, they think, yeah, that's me. Sure, why not? I'm a devotee. I've changed my dress, and I've changed my address, so I must be a devotee. But actually, Krishna says that there are four kinds of pious people who approach him. Chaturvida bhajante mam janasukritin arjuna arta jignasi artarati gyani charbarashartarshava. There are four kinds of pious people who approach me. Those who are in distress, and who in the material world is not in distress. Those who want some comfort. Anyone here doesn't want comfort? As soon as there's nice prasadam, we say, no, not for me. It's too much. Give me some dry rice. Oh, this bed is too soft. I think I'll sleep on the floor. Is there any nails around here? I've been sleeping too well at night. And who here is not speculating, trying to figure out what am I doing here? How did I ever get here? Wait, is this a dream or am I actually awake? And who doesn't want to get liberated from all material problems? Solve the problem, be aloof from all material ups and downs. But these are all in the material sphere, and they're within the realm of karmakanda and jnanakanda. We could say karma yoga or jnana yoga, but same thing. For those who are distressed and seeking material comfort, they're working in the realm of karma yoga, or we could say karmakanda. Their motivation to serve Krishna is not out of pure love for Krishna. As soon as they see the deity, their heart doesn't bump out of it. Boom, boom, oh, Krishna, I love you. No, they think, who are these guys? Why don't they move sometime? It must be pretty boring standing there all day long. Your arms are raised. They're actually God, my God. Doesn't he have anything better to do? We're all dancing and chanting. They're just standing there smiling. So we don't necessarily see things as they actually are or understand things as they are. And therefore, we're working in the realm of karmakanda and jnanakanda, trying to understand things hopefully better than we did yesterday. And then, as far as liberation, liberation for us, as Krishna says, what is liberation? That we merge in Brahman, everything turns into Brahman. I'm Brahman, you're Brahman. No. Liberation means tolerance. Tolerance. To learn tolerance from our sinful reactions. Not to get caught up with whatever idea comes through my mind, thinks, it must be true because it's in my mind. That's called mental speculation. If it's not in the books, then it doesn't exist. It may exist, but it exists in my imagination. To come to that platform, that's liberation. One Puryamana Machala Pratishtam Samudrama Papravishanti Advat Tadva Kamiyam Pravishanti Sarve Sarshantim Apnoti Nakama Kami. Person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires, which enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace. And not the man who strives to satisfy such desire. So desire may be present. As a matter of fact, for the conditioned soul, it's not possible that suddenly all the material desires will cease flowing through the mind. But our problem comes when we become attached to these desires. We take them seriously. We want to become a kama kami. We want to fulfill that desire. And Krishna notes our desire, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it, and you really want to fulfill that desire. And then if we think about it, that's one thing. If we feel about it, because we think about something, then Maya will turn into feeling. Yes, this will actually be very nice. And then we say, yeah, let's try it. Let's see what it's going to be like. That's willing. And then Krishna arranges it through the material nature. When we come to the willing stage, if we have the adhikari, then he arranges it that this body will moves in such a will as to fulfill our will. Neither the thinking, nor the feeling, nor the willing can we do independently, but Krishna arranges it through his material energy to fulfill our different degrees of desire, whether thinking, feeling, or willing. Therefore, for one who has conquered his mind, it's the best of friends. So what is this conquering the mind? Vyas parasheva saktatma vindyatmini yatsukam sabrahma yoga yuktatma sukam akshayam ashnade. Such a person is not attracted to material sense objects or material pleasure because he's always entranced enjoying the pleasure from within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness because he concentrates on the Supreme. So that's our free will. We can put our energy into our material thoughts and desires, or we can put our energy into hearing and chanting about Krishna and try to become a servant of Krishna, utilize our desire to fulfill Krishna's desires. And then the result is if Krishna is pleased, then he reveals himself to us. And then we can think about him. We can think about Krishna independently of his revealing himself to us. Of course, we can, by our will, we may try to think about Krishna, and Krishna may manifest himself in the form of a picture or within our mind or a thought. But this type of revelation is not necessarily Krishna conscious. Just like Kamsa was always thinking about Krishna. But that doesn't mean he was Krishna conscious. Krishna may appear within our thought, but that doesn't mean we're actually experiencing Krishna. That will depend upon our devotional attitude. Krishna can't be revealed unless one has a devotional attitude, because Krishna exists in the spiritual world, exists in the atmosphere of love and devotion, nothing else. The intense desire to serve Krishna, to please him. Now we can show Krishna by our effort that we want to please him. We follow his instructions and instructions of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And we try to do things with care and attention. There are things we can do to show our sincerity to please Krishna. And then Krishna knows our sincerity and responds accordingly and tries to encourage us to become more sincere. Didami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upiyanti te. And Krishna can reciprocate by giving us understanding of who we actually are, who he is, and what actually our mood is supposed to be, especially. So here, Prahlad Maharaj, he's given such an opportunity which is inconceivable to us. So inconceivable, most people think this is just a fairy tale. As a matter of fact, they think most of the Bhagavatam is just a fairy tale. And Krishna is the good fairy. And Maya may be the bad fairy, they don't know. Could be the good fairy too. Depends on which side you're on. In any case, I think it's all an exaggeration. Oh, you're going to live for one manvantara. 72 yuga cycles, sure, right. Vyasadeva must have had an extra couple of smokes when he made this one up. Long story. A lot of Brahma Samhita in there. I guess he was in a role. Just got studying the Brahma Samhita. Threw it into the seventh chapter. In any case, and then Prahlad was going to give in a kingdom somewhere in the bottom of the universe. Yeah, right. Probably flew in every once in a while in a UFO too. Say hello. Hi, it's Prahlad. Hi, Prahlad. In from Sutapa again. Sutal. So one can take it like that. This is all imagination. It's all a fairy tale. We don't have to take it too seriously. Or we can take it there is actually Krishna. He exists. And this universe is not the way we conceive of it, that we don't even know who we are. Therefore, the reference of Bhagavad Gita, the eternality of ourselves, is always a good reference so we can see how much illusory, much in the illusory energy we're in. And how much, based upon our bodily concept of life, we're absorbed in thinking about what am I going to get in the future, what does the future bode for me, will it be auspicious or inauspicious? Well, if we're in Krishna consciousness, if we can learn how to tolerate and give up things, vihaya kami aksarvam pumam sharati nispriha nirmamo nirahankara sashanti madhigachiti. A one who lives free from desire. Not so easy. Generally the conditioned soul is so overwhelmed by desire, he thinks that's normal. They think that's life, desire, material desire. Unless one gets the opportunity to actually experience what spiritual desire is, then there's no question of anything else other than material desire. Maybe by better association in the material world, one can have desire in the mode of goodness. Go out in the country and smell the flowers or something. Go to the park. Bring your dog and let it run around. That's considered goodness nowadays. Or maybe in the mode of passion. Make more money, get better luxury. Or in the mode of ignorance. Don't worry about anything. As long as the check comes in and you can eat and sleep, life is good. That's the highest goal of life. Progress means increasing our sleeping 1 hour every day till we're sleeping 25 hours a day. That's considered progress by some. Prabhupada gives the example. In India, people are coolies. They run errands. As I mentioned, I had a job like that in Wall Street. In fact, one of the few jobs I ever had. I was going from broker to broker, carrying documents of sale for buildings and companies and things like that. So in India they have the same thing. They have what's called runners. The boss gives you a document and the coolie runs to the next appraiser. But Prabhupada said what they usually do is they go to the park and they go to sleep for 5 hours. Then they wake up and they deliver the package, the documents. They come back, and the head boss says, "Hey, what happened? You've been gone for 5 hours." "Yeah, it was so hot. You can't believe how crowded everything was. I was fighting the whole time. I need a vacation. I need a day off. I got a headache. So much work I was doing today." Actually, they thought my gain was I got a chance to sleep 5 extra hours. I got paid for it. What could be more? So in the mode of ignorance, one is thinking progress means eat more, sleep more, mate more, and defend more. And most people are in the mode of passion and going towards ignorance. And therefore their movies have gone from Sita's Wedding or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and I forget what they call that. What do they call that movie? With Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nilamala, Chaitanya or something? Nila Chala Nimai. They've gone from that to, you know, completely the mode of ignorance. Because that's what people are interested in. And they think they're progressing. They think they're actually becoming free. Because they're being misled. Andaya tandira pigimanas te pisha tantra urudami vara. So the only hope is if they find out natevidu swartikatimi Vishnu that the actual goal of life is to obtain Krishna consciousness. If they find that out, then they can actually wake up and realize how they've been misled. Otherwise, to find out who's behind which conspiracy is behind the latest this or that is a waste of time. Because the actual conspirator is Krishna. He's the one who's the supreme terrorist who's killing everyone imperceptibly. He's the one who's arranging all these control because he's fulfilling people's karma, their desire, what they deserve. It's all behind the whole thing is Krishna. And he's not responsible, but every living entity is responsible for what he's doing. If he's working in Krishna consciousness, then his life is becoming auspicious. Otherwise, he's just wasting his time. Perhaps if he's giving up material desire, giving up mental speculation, one day he may come to Krishna consciousness and begin real life. But if he doesn't come to Krishna consciousness, then it's all Shravama Evahi Kevalam. Doesn't matter what he gets, what he loses, it's all just the modes of material nature constantly changing and bewildering the soul. So as it says here, when the soul, when the Krishna gives us something to use in his service, we should use it in his service. We shouldn't reject it because that's why Krishna is giving it to us. He's giving us intelligence, he's giving us material opportunities, then we should utilize them in Krishna's service and not become an impersonalist and reject them as something mundane. On the other hand, when Krishna takes things away from us, we shouldn't lament, oh, why did he take it away from us? He took it away from us so we can think more clearly and remember him more easily rather than get burdened by our unnecessarily material anxieties over things. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Is that a comment? Oh, yes. Any other comments? Yes.
Vaivasvata Mamantara.
Yeah, he's still there. You can go and visit him if you want.
Yes, yes.
Therefore, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he came also. Of course, they say that sometimes Haridas Thakura was Prahlad. He's also supposed to be Brahma. But anyhow, they're still around.
And Jai Vijay, they went back.
As far as I know, I can confirm it when I get there.
Okay.
Hey, where's Jai and Vijay? Well, they're just on the way back. Anything else? But their last verse was Jagai Madai, so. Jagai Madai is horizontal and disappeared, so they must be back in the spiritual world. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.